podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC. And folks, the fallout from Madrid continues as fans wrap themselves up in discussions and debates and arguments over who played well and who didn't and whose fault it was and this and that and the other thing. But you know what? There's nothing we can do about it now. The game is over. We won. We moved forward. And we remain top of that particular group, second in the Premier League, with a big game coming this weekend against Manchester United. And United last night in the Champions League looked disastrously bad first half. A little bit better second half, but got very, very lucky that Atalanta didn't take their chances and that Mary Demarel got injured. 2-0 down at half time. Goals from Rashford, Maguire and Cristiano Ronaldo gave them a 3-2 win. Created something of a feel-good factor in the ground after the game. Lots of positive talk about Ollie from the fans, especially on social media. Some of his friends in the media speaking out on his behalf as they're wont to do. If they play like, as Paul Scholes said, if they play like that against Liverpool, they will get destroyed. If Jurgen Klopp was sitting at home last night watching that game, he will have gleefully been rubbing his hands together at the thoughts of them being so open, both in their half-field defence and their transitional defence. If they do that against us, we will wipe the floor with them. This United team is disjointed. It's bad at the back. It's bad in midfield. And despite arguably the best collection of attacking talent in the league from a volume point of view. Now, everybody would take Salah, Mane and Firmino over there starting front three. But when you factor for the right wing, they can play Greenwood, Diallo, Sancho. For the left wing, they can play Rashford, Pogba, Sancho and Martial. Up front, they can play Cristiano, Cavani, Martial, Rashford or Greenwood. And in the number 10 role, they can play Bruno, Pogba or Donny van de Beek. That doesn't factor in Juan Mata and Jesse Lingard, who are still there. And Lingard has made some good contributions this season, obviously. A couple of goals, including a match winner against West Ham. When you look at the sheer volume of talent they have in attack, there's nobody really that has the variety and the depth and quality that United have. The midfield is a train wreck, though. They've got McFred, neither of whom are very good. They've got Pogba, who they can't really trust in a double pivot, and they've got Matic, who can't run. The defence is disjointed. They've only really got one outlet from the back, which is Luke Shaw, because you can't give the ball to Wan-Bissaka because his second touch isn't so much a tackle as a sacrifice. And you wouldn't have a whole lot of concerns about their build-up play. Everything is hope for the best. Throw on a load of attackers and hope for the best. Go out there and run around, lads. Just express yourself. Our players are better than yours. This is a really badly coached team. It's a team that doesn't have anything that would really concern you other than the fact that individually they do have a bunch of match winners. We have a great team. We have great individuals, but we have a great team. Our team fits together. Our team has an established style of play. Our team has a way of doing things, a way of doing things on the ball and a way of doing things off the ball. Defensively, Atletico Madrid aside, we're normally exceptionally good. We've got the world's best centre-back, a very good centre-back next to him, one of the best left-backs in the world, arguably the world's best right-back, the world's best goalkeeper or second-best goalkeeper, and the best holding midfielder in the world. They have none of that. They've got a very good goalkeeper in De Gea who's rediscovered his form, a bang-average right-back, a good left-back. He's not Andy Robertson level, despite having had a really good season last year. And without Ferran, they're very mediocre at centre-back. They've got nothing in regards to a holding midfielder. They've tried to shoehorn McTominay and Fred into the holding role. They've tried to shoehorn both of them into one role. And none of it really works. When you factor how good our attack has been, of late. It's well, most of the season, really. And the form that Salah as an individual is in. Against that defence, you really have to be approaching this weekend with optimism, with confidence. I would argue with borderline arrogance that we can go there and not just beat them, but beat them comprehensively. There's nothing about that team that really worries me, as long as our players do their jobs. If all of our players do what's asked of them, we should beat them comfortably. We've seen Neville and Carragher do their combined 11s. Neville trying to shoehorn in Maguire is laughable. Matip is substantially better. Now, if Varane was fit, then there's a debate to be had. There's no debate, obviously, at right back, left back, or the other centre back role. It is Virgil. There's no debate in goal. There's no debate at the holding midfield role. If Thiago's fit, Thiago's the other midfielder. Without him, you can go in a bunch of different directions. Bruno is the 10. He's probably the other 8. If you go Bruno, Fabinho, Thiago, he's the only Manchester United player right now who gets in this Liverpool team. Sancho has the potential, there's no question. Greenwood has the potential, but you would have to play him as the 9 because Salah's the right-sided player. Or you could play Salah as the 9 either way. You could argue that a fully fit and on-form Rashford is worth a mention on the left if Mane's not at his best. But Mane is in form at the moment. He's been pretty good the last 4 games. Wasn't great against Atleti, but wasn't bad either. And caused them trouble. Bruno's the only one that would definitely start for Liverpool. Maybe Varane. It's a debate between Varane and Matip. It is an actual debate. The argument for Varane is he has reached a higher level. He is more durable normally. I know he's injured at the moment, but Matip played 19 games across the previous 2 Premier League seasons. Varane had injury problems early in his career. They seem to have mostly healed up. But Varane is not the defender he was pre-2018. And Matip is probably about the same level as him now. And probably a little bit more reliable game to game. Varane has a rick in him at times. Some of that is from playing next to Sergio Ramos for years. You play next to somebody who makes continuous mistakes and he's meant to be the leader of your defensive line. You're going to pick up some bad habits. So if you're putting together a combined 11 and everybody's fit, Bruno is in, maybe Varane. You're not making a good argument really for anyone else. If everyone's fitting on form, it's Salah, it's Bobby, and it's Mane. If Bobby is on form, Bobby is in that team because he's so important to how the other two act as well and how they perform. Fabinho and Thiago are no-brainers. The defence, like I said, Virgil, Trent, Robbo, no-brainers. Ali's a no-brainer. It is just maybe a debate over Matip or Varane. If you want to have a debate over Greenwood or Firmino, that's fine. And I'd absolutely accept Greenwood. I'd love to have Greenwood at Liverpool. I'd love to have Rashford at Liverpool. I'd love to have Sancho at Liverpool. I am quite jealous of how many attacking options they have. I just find it very funny that they're in the hands of a buffoon. It reminds me of the England squad and how much talent there is there and how much young talent there is there. And it's in the hands of Gareth Southgate, who couldn't get a Premier League job before he was given the England under-21 job. If Ollie got sacked tomorrow, he's not getting another Premier League job. You look up and down the league table. Who would you take him over? Tuchel? No. Klopp? No. Pep? No. Potter? No. Nuno? No. And Nuno's not great. Moyes? Definitely not. Rafa? Definitely not. Thomas Frank? Absolutely not. I'd rather have Bruno Lage based on what I've seen through 8 games and his time at Benfica. He's definitely not as good as Brendan. Maybe Arteta? Maybe. Definitely not Dean Smith, definitely not Patrick Vieira, definitely not Hasenhüttl. You might take him over Claudio Ranieri. You probably would. So Claudio Ranieri is probably the one. He's not getting Bielsa's job, he's not getting Dyche's job. Newcastle don't have a manager. He wouldn't even be considered for that one. And he's not as good a manager as Daniel Farke, relegations or not. Daniel Farke is a good manager. He just has to work to a very strict budget at Norwich. And it is like, you know, it's like the old one-footed man in an ass-kicking competition. He just fights at a disadvantage the whole time. There are two jobs in the league that Ole could potentially get. Arsenal, because Arteta is poor. And Watford, because Claudio isn't very good either. But at Watford, he gets sacked after 3 months because that's what they do when a manager doesn't perform. And the Arsenal job, it just isn't an option for him because of his ties to United. So realistically, if he got sacked tomorrow, he's not getting another Premier League job. Nobody would take him over who they have. And if any of those jobs became available, they would all have better candidates than him. He is a bad manager. And the mismatch of going into this, when we have Jurgen Klopp in our dugout and they have Ollie in theirs, it reminds me of when they had Ferguson and we had the Hodge. That's how big the gulf is here. We have one of the best managers in the world and they have one of the worst in the league. If not, he's bottom three. He's bottom three in the league. So that's something to be confident about. Our team has a real way of playing in a manager who knows how to set the team up. Their manager tells his lads to go out and enjoy themselves. Can't wait for this game, genuinely. Really looking forward to it. We obviously went there at the end of last season. They were very confident they were going to get the win. Rested all their players against Leicester. Lost that game to keep them all fit for us so they could beat us and knock us out of Champions League contention. And we wiped the floor with them. Thiago Alcantara had himself a field day in midfield. Nat Phillips looked like a creative force in their box. That's how disparaging the gulf was. Moving on. Looking around the main Liverpool websites at the moment. This is Anfield. Lots of post-match stuff off the back of the Atleti game. How Atletico pantomime prepares Liverpool for Anfield. Return of away days bring flashes of brilliance. A Liverpool fan in Madrid. Ending Atletico streak and Keita's blame game. Last word on Liverpool versus Atletico. There's a piece on Harvey Elliott and his recovery. A piece on Mo Salah being immortalised in Madame Tussauds. And then there's a piece that brings concern. And it's a piece based on something that was published in The Athletic today regarding the AFCON and the call-ups for the AFCON. So, as things stand, players are going to be expected to leave immediately after Boxing Day. And may not come back, the teams that do well in the AFCON, the players from those countries may not be back until the second week of February. That would be 8 games, 6 in the Premier League and 2 in the FA Cup that could be missed by players from countries that do well in the AFCON. Now, obviously, that massively affects Liverpool with Sadio, with Mo and with Naby. We're not the only one, of course. Chelsea could lose Edouard Mendy. Arsenal could lose Thomas Partey. Manchester City would lose Mahrez. United would lose Amad Diallo and Eric Bailly, but neither of them are starters. Mendy would be a huge blow for Chelsea, obviously, and Partey is Arsenal's kind of only midfielder. But for us, Salah and Mane are so important that it's very difficult to see how we would work around that for a prolonged period, like 8 games. The 2 cup games you can throw out because Klopp would probably play Minamino and Origi anyway. But the league games do matter. And Liverpool's run in January isn't the easiest either. You look through the fixtures. On Boxing Day, Liverpool will play Leeds. Then it's Leicester, then it's Chelsea, both away, then Brentford at home, difficult game, then Crystal Palace, and then Leicester again at home. That's a difficult run. Now, for us, actually, it's only five league games. To be fair, it is only five league games, not the six. There is some discussion going on because the majority of the tournament doesn't kick off, I think, until January 13th, that maybe the players would be allowed to stay and play the last game of 2021. For us, that's Leicester, and then fly out. So our players would still miss Chelsea, Brentford, Crystal Palace, and then maybe the second Leicester game, depending on how Egypt and Senegal do. With Guinea, unfortunately, they don't have a whole bunch outside of some good midfielders. You wouldn't expect them to go too far, but Senegal and Egypt will have real designs on wanting to go as far as possible and potentially even winning the thing. When we initially knew the AFCON was coming up, I think the understanding was they'd miss Brentford and Palace, but we'd have them for Leicester and Chelsea. That seems not to be the case at the moment. It seems to be a fluid situation, though, so we'll have to wait and see, because here's one Premier League club who are set to lose multiple players to AFCON call-ups told The Athletic that special dispensation for a January 3rd release is only likely if it applies across the board to all clubs and nations. And at the moment, it's only the Premier League that would require that dispensation, because Spain, Italy, France and Germany are all having winter breaks. So their players wouldn't miss those two games, the Leicester game and the Chelsea game. So as things stand, it does look like we may well be without Salah and Mane for four, maybe five games, which would be really, really difficult, especially considering at least one is against Leicester, potentially two, and one is against Chelsea. And Chelsea are very, very good. And Brentford at home, Brentford are really good as well. Palace look like a good team this year as well. And they gave us a decent game at Anfield. So there's no easy game. There's no Norwich. There's no Newcastle. There's no Watford in that run. So it's a little bit concerning. A little bit concerning is all I'll say, having said all of that. Right, on to Liverpool.com. There is a few pieces here worth your while. Liverpool have serious interest in Manchester City forward as huge Mo Salah contract claim is made. It's the Media Digest piece. It breaks down Liverpool having interest in Yuri Tielemans. Juventus have Liverpool worry, which is over Orlen Tchouameni, who Liverpool and Juventus are both allegedly interested in. There's a bit about Bobby and his shirt swap with João Felix. And the Liverpool-Man City thing is obviously Raheem Sterling. I don't think a lot of fans would take him back. I personally would, because I think he's brilliant. I think he was badly treated, and I think a lot of the stuff that got written about him was, well, it was a lie, to be fair. One report out of Spain suggests that before Ansu Fati signed his new contract with Barcelona, Liverpool did make him a substantial offer if he were willing to swap Catalonia for Merseyside. But he has signed that contract, and he looks like he will stay. There is a piece on João Felix and whether or not he could be seen as a Bobby Firmino heir. Given the price he went to Atleti for, I would imagine that is unlikely. Andy Robertson has key Liverpool threat and Alan Shearer and Ian Wright are right to admire it. A very good piece, actually. Well worth your while reading. It's based on a podcast that Ian Wright and Alan Shearer did together. Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer did together in a recent podcast. And Ian Wright has basically always been a big back of Robertson. So that one's worth your while from Emmett Gates. And then finally from Liverpool.com, a piece about a forgotten man, Elijah Dixon Bonner, who was called up to the squad that travelled to Madrid. Wasn't on the bench, but was interested to see him called up, considering he was on his way out the door in the summer, but his trial at Portsmouth didn't go as well as hoped. and he ended up sticking around. Maybe he can be this season's Nat Phillips. Maybe he'll get some run in the domestic cups. And maybe there's a way for him to work his way into the squad for a spell of games. And what that might do is it might boost his value and enable us to sell him next summer at a decent enough price. On AnfieldIndex.com, Sam Maguire has a piece up about Ibrahima Konaté and Liverpool's handling of him so far. And Stephen Smith has an excellent piece up called Fabinho and the Need for a World-Class Structure. Well worth your while. Podcast-wise, the latest Raw is out. There's a Scouser Tommy's with Jim and Jay. We've just recorded the latest version of Scouted ahead of United. Rival Recon is in the can. Guy has to edit that, but that will be out this evening. And Under Pressure, a doubleheader covering Watford and Madrid, Atletico Madrid, is being recorded tonight. If you are a Pro subscriber, they are recording it live on Discord, as they always do. Well worth your while checking that one out. You can pop things in the chat box and they'll be able to see that and respond to any questions. And that's it then. That is us for today. Thank you as always. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.